Digital LED.
Previously on 24.
You're not my son.
Why? Because I don't want to kill innocent people.
Because you're weak and you stand for nothing.
Is there a problem, Navi?
Government agents have arrested Dina and surrounded the building that I'm in. How much more time do you need to melt down the remaining nuclear power plants?
1 hour, maybe two.
I don't want to have to kill you, but I will.
I have a suspect in custody. I need assistance.
Beru shoots his father through the heart. Navi falls down, dead.
You need to take Dina or Razin or something back to CTU and head up the interrogation.
Whoa, wait a second, Jack. They're never going to let me set foot in CTU, even if I wanted to.
If I press hard enough, I can get you reinstated, but I need to know now. Is that what you want?
Ms. Driscoll, I'm sure you're aware of my history here.
Not an issue. Jack Bauer and Secretary Heller both vouch for you. That's enough for me.
I work directly for the terrorists.
I told you, I don't know.
I need names. People who can get us to the override.
This place may not be as empty as it seems.
What, you think this is some kind of trap?
Yes, I do.
I didn't give him anything.
Marianne's killed.
What does CTU know about the override?
Curtis is knocked unconscious and captured.
Audrey, it's me.
Hey, did you find anything at the address?
Yeah, the company that owns the building. It's called Galaxy Financial Services. Have you ever heard of them?
No, should I have?
Your husband's the chief financial officer.
What are you doing here? What's really going on? What are you spying on me?
Are you doing something worth spying on?
What is that supposed to mean?
Get your hands off of her!
You set me up!
Put your hands on your head now!
What do you want?
I want some answers.
The following takes place between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m.
An armed CTU agent guards the door to Paul's hotel room. Inside, an unconscious Paul sits bound and slumped in a chair. Jack to Audrey.
I think it would be better if you left the room while I questioned your husband.
You can wait just outside with the backup team.
What are you going to do to him?
Whatever I have to.
I'm staying.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, Kim Raver as Audrey Raines, Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida, Alberta Watson as Aaron Driscoll, and William Devane as Secretary James Heller. Created by Jill Sonar and Robert Cochran, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. Jack rips open Paul's designer shirt and revives him by squeezing icy water from the champagne bucket down the back of his neck and over his chest using a sponge. Jack squats in front of him, and Audrey looks on in great discomfort from the sofa.
Look at me.
I've got nothing to say to you.
It's what you need to know, Paul. There are 5 nuclear power plants ready to melt down. All I care about right now is making sure that that doesn't happen. Your name is on a lease in a building in Chatsworth that was used by the terrorists to plan today's attack. That makes you a prime suspect. I'm going to treat you like one. Do you understand that?
My name is on at least 50 different leases. I own 10 different corporations. I don't know anything about some building in Chatsworth.
I don't believe you. The lease of that building was notarized. There's documentation of your ID. CTU verified your signature. Paul, you need to start talking to me now.
I've got nothing to say to you.
Jack scrutinizes Paul's face, coldly marches over to a table and yanks the wires out of a small table lamp. Concerned, Audrey rushes over to Jack, hoping to dissuade him.
Jack, I don't think that Paul would be a traitor to this country.
Right now, Paul is a prime suspect, and he's not cooperating with me, and I don't have time to do this any other way. I need to know for sure.
Paul.
This is the last chance you've got to talk to me before I have to hurt you. Tell me about 24878 Alfred Street in Chatsworth. Why is your name on the lease?
Jack, please.
Audrey, don't interfere! If you need to step outside of this room, do it! Why is your name on the lease?
As Audrey withdraws, Jack tests the 2 live wires by sparking them into contact.
You're bluffing.
Jack pokes both wires into Paul's chest to electrocute him. Audrey's jaw drops in horror.
I need that information, Paul. I need it now.
Come on, Paul. Just tell me what's your connection to the terrorists.
Paul quivers with fear. Audrey appeals again. Jack digs the wires back into his chest, and Paul writhes in agony. Annoyed at Paul's continued lack of compliance, Jack takes hold of his head and threatens to push the wires into his ear.
I don't know the specific building you're talking about. I can find out.
How?
The corporate records are stored on my laptop. If that address is under my name, then it'll come up. Maybe there's someone else involved I don't know about.
What's your user ID login number?
It'll be much quicker if I just do it. Please.
Jack hovers over him a moment longer before withdrawing the wires and pulling the plug from the main socket. Torn by conflicting emotions, Audrey's horror slowly gives way to relief.
You want me to believe that you're not involved with this, Paul? You better show me who is.
As Jack undoes the rope that binds Paul to the chair, Audrey throws him a look of wounded disbelief. 506. On a high floor of the skyscraping Rockland building, the same floor as Powell's office, Marwan leaves the glass lift and swipes through a security door to be met by a man on the inside.
Sorry I had to call you here, Marwan, but I had no choice. CTU is trying to disable the override using a Drinfeld module. They've already shut down over 90 reactors.
We always knew they'd stop some of them. The important thing is that one of the reactors has melted down. As long as the override has control of the other five, I can do the rest from here.
Everything is ready for you upstairs.
He hands Marwan a security pass.
Will anyone in that office be suspicious? I reported a system failure. If anyone asks, tell them you're from IT restoring my hard drive. My desk is in the last row, 3 from the end, C86. The override is well disguised inside the desk. Here is the key.
Good.
How much time will you need?
45 minutes to melt down the remaining reactors.
I am here if you need anything.
Where's the CTU agent?
Forbes is questioning him now.
Marwan hurries up the stairs to the next floor and leaves the stairwell. He proceeds along a whitewashed corridor and approaches a pass door, next to which is a logo for a company called IDS Systems. He swipes through the security door using Ali's pass and walks into a busy open-plan office floor, divided into small workstations. He carries on until the last, and as he settles down his jacket on the back of a chair, he looks cautiously around before crouching beneath the desk and switching on the Dobson override device. ...508. In a deserted room on the floor below, Forbes lifts Curtis's unconscious head as he flops around in a chair. Ali joins him and his two besuited thugs.
He's out. He's not going to tell us anything. What does Marwan want us to do with him?
Finish him off, then get rid of the body.
Take care of it.
Forbes and Ali leave them to it.
Came with a woman and two other agents. Where are their bodies?
Already in the van.
The two thugs release Curtis from a pair of handcuffs that bind him to the chair, then swiftly drag him away on their shoulders. As they cross the room, Curtis furtively peeps at them and suddenly springs back to life to attack them. Curtis easily overwhelms them both with his martial arts prowess, smacking one first against the wall, then onto the floor. Before the other has a chance to come at him with his gun, Curtis grabs his arm, smacks him into a pillar, shattering the plasterboard, and in a coup de grace, breaks his neck. He picks up the dead man's gun and cautiously peers through the door into the hallway. Seeing no one, he proceeds along the corridor to an exit door. But is barred from leaving by a security code. Hearing a noise, he withdraws into the shadows. Paul at his laptop.
Yeah, here it is. Galaxy Financial Services.
What kind of a company is it?
It's a failing payroll service. I was about to dissolve, and someone came in with an offer to buy 51% of the shares. $700,000-$800,000, something like that. Here, Harris Barnes, director.
Who is Harris Barnes?
I don't remember.
What do you mean you don't remember?
I'm involved with over 30 companies. I don't deal directly with most of them.
Explain to me, Paul, how your name got on the lease.
I don't know.
You expect me to believe that you entered into a business deal worth hundreds of thousands of dollars with someone that you'd never met?
Yes, my attorney handles most of it.
Paul, I don't believe you.
Jack, it's possible. Paul has put together a lot of deals through his attorneys.
Jack looks dubiously at Audrey, who throws a compassionate glance at Paul, who squints back with all the appeal of a helpless victim. 5:10. Jack contacts CTU.
This is Sarah.
Hey, it's me. I need you to run a name for me.
Go ahead.
Harris Barnes. He's the director of a California S Corporation, Galaxy Financial Services.
What am I looking for?
Where he lives, his businesses, anything that could possibly connect him to any terrorist activity.
All right, give me a minute.
I'll be here. She's calling me right back. Excuse me. Oh, your boyfriend is just a thug with a badge.
Paul, why is your name on that lease?
Unbelievable. An hour ago, I was sitting here feeling sorry for myself that you didn't want me back. And now, you think I'm a terrorist. You think I had something to do with you and your father's kidnapping?
I don't know what to believe anymore.
Jack bursts back into the room.
Yeah.
Okay, I ran down the name Harris Barnes and a lot of data came up, but it was inconsistent. So I went into the IRS records and found out that Harris Barnes didn't appear on their logs until 2 years ago.
So it's an alias?
As far as I can tell, it's a washed ID with a valid social security number and credit card history. Interpol backtraced the name and provided a list of foreign nationals who've used it in the past.
Who used it most recently?
A man named Habib Marwan.
We need to find him.
I think we already have.
What do you mean?
Marwan used the name Harris Barnes to lease more office space here in L.A. It turns out the same address was given to us an hour ago by Marianne Taylor. She and Curtis are there now.
What's the address?
It's 29th floor at the Rockland Building downtown.
Okay, I'm on my way. As soon as Curtis calls, you patch him through to me.
You got it. You think Marwan's there?
Right now, it's our only lead. If he is, that's where the override is. I'll get back to you.
Marwan hacks at a computer. 5:12. End of part one. 5:17. Tony to Dina.
I want you to tell me who's still out there.
I want the name of anyone who can help us find that override to stop the plants from melting down.
My husband kept all of this from me. I only helped.
Yeah, that's a bunch of crap. Now, we know you were just as involved as your husband. Listen, we're quite aware that the only reason you're helping us is because of your son. But believe me, it's not too late for us to change our minds about how we treat him.
Dina considers deeply before answering.
There are a few men whose names I heard Nobby mention. They might know what you want. But I don't know how to find them.
All right. Why don't you start by writing their names down?
Sarah and Driscoll observe the interrogation through a one-way mirror.
As far as we can tell, this Habib Marwan's been controlling the override.
Jack's on his way there now.
Yes.
Curtis and his team are already at that building.
I know, but we haven't been able to reach him or his team members. He's not answering his cell.
How far is Jack?
About 15 minutes out.
Keep trying, Curtis. Tell him Jack's on the way. We have to coordinate the two and find that override.
Okay.
As Sarah leaves, Driscoll reaches for an intercom.
Tony, ask her about a man named Habib Marwan.
Who's Habib Marwan?
I heard Navia speak of him a few times. He's an engineer. Beyond that, I don't know.
Tony moves closer in. Driscoll.
Miss Driscoll?
Yes.
This is Nurse Carlson in the clinic. There's a problem with your daughter, Maya. I think you should get down here as soon as you can.
I'll be right there.
5:19. Sarah tries again to contact Curtis. Meanwhile, over in the Rockland building, Forbes is holding Curtis's cell in his hand.
CTU agent's phone. What should we do?
Nothing. Let them wonder where he is. By the time they realize what's happened, it will be too late. Find out if Adam and Jason have disposed of the body. They should have been back by now.
All right.
Ali catches up with the latest television news. Meanwhile, Forbes reaches the room where Curtis was held and notices the door left open. On opening the door wider, he sees the bodies of his two men limp on the floor. He immediately contacts Ali.
Yeah.
Ali.
Adam and Jason are dead.
Did the agent escape?
No, I checked the door. It's still armed. He's still on this floor.
Find him.
Yeah.
Ali immediately phones Marwan.
Yes. The CTU agent is loose on this floor.
How did he escape?
He killed two of our men.
Does he know the override is in the building?
I don't think so, and he can't get to it. We have the exits covered.
Disconnect all the hard lines. You can't be allowed to contact CTU.
I will.
Watched by Curtis, Ali rips out telephone lines from an exchange board on the wall. Meanwhile, back at the clinic, medical staff try to calm Maya.
Maya.
No, no, you can't keep me here!
Maya,
no.
Please, we just want to help you feel better.
Feel better when you get out of my face!
Maya!
What took you so long?
I thought she was given a sedative.
We did. She's fighting it.
Give me a few minutes with her.
Sure. Ruth?
Well, I brought you here so that you could be near me. Isn't that what you wanted?
I want for us to go home.
Maya, we will. Honey, but we can't just yet. Honey.
I don't like these people here.
Maya, that's not going to make you feel better.
I do feel better.
Sweetheart, I need you.
Go! Get out!
Your important business.
Doctor? Doctor? Doctor?
Yes, Maya.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was misbehaving. But I promise to be good. If you'll just get that out of here.
She points maliciously at her mother. Maya waves from a distance, resisting attempts at reconciliation.
I'm going.
Goodbye.
I'll be in my office if you need me.
5:22. Jack and his four-track with Audrey and Paul.
Curtis's phone is ringing and he's not answering it?
Right. It rang several times before I got his message. If he had turned it off, it would have gone to voicemail immediately.
Trouble. Where are the field teams?
Castle and his men will be there in 2 minutes. I can have them set up a staging area along the perimeter and stand by for your command.
What's the probability that Marwan's even in the facility?
We don't know yet.
Where are they staging?
They'll be waiting for you in a parking lot at the northwest corner of Wilshire and Grand, one block away.
Okay.
Your people found Marwan yet?
No.
Audrey, you have to know that I would never be involved in anything that could bring you harm.
People this Marwan could have approached to do business and he chose you. It's a hell of a coincidence, Paul.
It might not just be a coincidence. They might have wanted Paul for more than just the corporate shell.
He chose Paul because he was my husband?
That would put them 1 degree of separation from your father.
So this Marwan used me to get to Audrey's father?
It's a possibility.
Well, I had no idea where Audrey or her father would be today. The information they used to stage the kidnapping couldn't have come from me.
They would have used your relationship with her father for something else. Maybe to plan something for the future, a contingency plan.
I've been careless. I'm so sorry.
After everything they've been through, the sincerity of Paul's apology moves Audrey deeply, and she discreetly reaches out with her fingers to give a touch of reassurance on his shoulder. Jack glances at her in the mirror, and her expression turns cold. 5:24. End of part 2. Part 3. 5:28. Tony to Driscoll.
All right, well,
So far, every name Dean has given us is checked out as a mid-level cell member.
But what's interesting is that Marwan, who she claims to have never met, is connected to everyone on this list. It looks like all roads lead to him.
This must be his operation, which means she definitely knows more than she's telling us.
What do you want to do to make her talk?
I just need you to give me a little bit of rope.
Do it.
Tony passes out of the observation room via security door back into Dina's interrogation room. Dina sits impassively.
Why don't you tell me about Habib Marwan?
I already told you.
No. You told me you never met him.
I haven't.
Danny, could you come in here, please?
A technical support operative puts down his headphones, leaves his listening post, and enters through the pass door.
I'm gonna need all video and audio monitoring in this room disconnected. Thank you.
Danny returns to his post.
I'm not a stupid woman. What are you trying to prove with this?
I'm not trying to prove anything. I just don't want what I'm about to say to be recorded.
A flash of fear darts across her face. She turns around to see the power light go off on the camera. Then turns back to Tony in defiance.
I don't believe you.
Dina's smug smile annoys Tony. He looks across to the one-way mirror, then violently grabs Dina and bundles her out of the room.
Open the door!
Everybody out. Get out now!
Everyone.
As Driscoll leaves, Tony manhandles Dina, pushing her across the length of the observation room. Then he grabs her by the throat and forces her against the concrete wall.
Unless you tell me the whole truth right now, that deal you made to save your son is over, and he goes to prison for murder and treason.
You can't do that. The president signed an agreement.
If that deal gets in the way of protecting this country, you think the president's going to stand behind it? He's going to tear it up, and your son goes to prison for the rest of his life. And I'll tell you, I know a little something about prison. And based on the conditions of his confinement, I tell you right now, I can Beirut by 3 months before he commits suicide. By the way, I'm going to make it my personal mission to make sure you never hear word one about what happens to him, ever.
Tony releases his grip, staring into her frightened eyes, calculating which move to make next. Then, as he tries the walk-away routine, Dina finally caves in.
Wait. Habib Marwan is the man our cell reported to in the United States.
You said your cell. How many other cells reported to him?
I don't know.
But there are others.
Yes.
How many?
I told you, I don't know. The cells are not in contact with one another. Marwan thought it was safer that way.
What about the override? Is it in his possession right now?
Definitely.
Definitely? Why definitely?
Your programmers are trying to interfere with the meltdown sequence. Marwan is the only one capable of stopping them.
And he's trying to do this by controlling it directly?
Exactly.
Where? Where?
Somewhere in downtown.
The Rockland Building.
Yes.
Sarah Gavin.
Sarah, get me Jack Bauer on the phone.
You got it.
5:33. Tony to a security guard.
Place her back in. Dina just confirmed. Marwan's got the override. He's at the Rockland Building.
Everyone, listen up. The address where Curtis is and where Jack Bauer is heading is the location of the override. I want every station to focus on this location. I want field teams ready. Rework your assault tactics on the building, factoring in this new information.
Let me speak to Tony.
Hold on a second. Tony, I've got Jack.
Jack.
Yeah.
We have confirmation. Habib Marwan's controlling the override. He's at the address you're headed to.
What about Curtis?
No, we haven't been able to reach him yet.
Have you changed your assault profiles?
We're working on it.
Look, Marwan's the key to this. He can't know we're coming or he'll take off with the override. Also, we're running out of time. We have about 20 minutes before these plans start to melt down.
Okay, tell Castle to prep for a low-profile assault. Tell him I'm on my way.
Copy that. Get me Castle.
Marwan looking for Ali.
Ali.
Go.
Have you found him yet?
Marwan, it was not necessary for you to come down.
Not necessary?
We will find him.
If I'm captured, it'll end everything we've been working for.
We control the floor. He can't get far.
Don't tell me what he can't do. He's already killed two of our men.
What is it, Forbes?
Tell me you've got him.
No, I'm sorry, Marwan. He may have gotten away.
How is that possible? Ali says the floor is locked off.
I know. We're still searching. But we've got to deal with ventilation, air ducts, ceiling space.
I don't care how you get him. As long as he's contained. I need 30 minutes. Can you make that happen?
I can make it happen.
30 minutes.
5:34. Curtis surprises Forbes and takes him prisoner.
Who's Marwan?
Who is he? Does he have the override?
Pointing a gun at his head, Curtis throws Forbes against a pillar.
Does he have the override?
Yes.
Where is he? Where is he?
One flight up. I don't have access to the floor.
Curtis slugs Forbes out cold with the butt of his gun. Body searches him, then takes away his pass card, cell phone, and gun. He flips open the cell phone and contacts CTU.
CTU, Sarah Gavin.
Sarah, it's Curtis. Where's Driscoll?
Curtis, where have you been? We've been trying to reach you.
I'm still in the Rockland building. Sarah, listen. Marianne's dead. I'm sure our backup teams are dead, too. The override is here.
All right, Jack's on his way to you now.
One block away from the Rockland building, Jack powers up a car ramp at his four-track onto the top floor of a parking lot serving as the staging post for the assault. As he arrives, he's met by Agent Castle, who leads the assault team.
Jack.
I need you to put together a security detail for pulling out your raids now.
I'll take care of it.
I want you to stay here with these men until I get back.
Are you going in?
Yeah. Second.
This is Bauer.
Jack, it's Manning.
Where are you?
Still in the building, 29th floor. Where are you?
I'm in the staging area about a block away. Have you secured the override device?
No, but it's here, on an upper floor. A man named Marwan is in control.
I know, CTU worked up a partial profile. What's your mobility?
Limited, they're still looking for me. But I took an access card off one of the hostiles.
How do we meet?
Take the main elevator. There's only one guard posted there. I'll take care of him.
I'm on my way.
We've got Marwan boxed in. I want you to send in your team, reinforce the perimeter. I want men on the first floor in case this thing goes hot.
Got it.
Audrey looks on anxiously as Jack selects a gun from his weapons cache in the back of his four-track. She angles for a fond farewell, but Jack is already focused on the assault.
I'll be right back.
Go, go!
5:41. Driscoll to Heller.
That was our field agent from the Rockland building. Your daughter's with him now. She's safe.
I don't want her anywhere near harm's way.
She won't be, sir.
Heller leads Driscoll into the briefing room for a scheduled video conference with President Keeler.
I understand we're closing in on the override.
We hope so, sir. We believe we found where the terrorists have it.
Which is where?
In an office building in L.A.
We believe the terrorists are either associated with one of the tenants, or they've created a corporation they're hiding behind.
How is CTU proceeding?
We have teams converging. Once we find the override, we have to use it to reprogram the reactors manually.
Will there be enough time to reprogram?
Our people will be ready, sir, once we find it.
All right. I don't have to remind both of you of the consequences if we fail.
Everyone here understands what's at stake, sir.
Excuse me, Miss Driscoll. Dr. Sanford's on line two.
Excuse me, sir.
I'll meet you on the floor.
Driscoll takes a deep breath before answering.
Yes, Doctor.
I'm sorry to bother you, but Maya's acting out again.
What is she doing?
She's being abusive to my staff. She's broken a few things.
If she doesn't settle down, I'm going to have to move her to a private hospital. We're just not
equipped to handle a patient like Maya.
All right, don't do anything. I'll be right there.
5:43, Driscoll leaves the briefing room and searches for Sarah.
Sarah.
Excuse me.
Is Edgar still online with NRC?
Yes.
Find any alternate ways to stop the meltdowns?
Not without the override now.
What's happening at the Rockman building?
Castle just called in. His teams are spread out on the perimeter.
What about Curtis?
He's about to meet up with Jack inside the building.
Where are you monitoring?
Station 3.
All right, I'll be there in a few minutes. Make sure everything's ready and calm if Jack and Curtis get their hands on the override.
Okay.
Maya struggles violently with a nurse.
You're a cruel person, do you know that?
Maya, please. This is a restricted area. You have to stay in your bed.
Stay in my bed? What am I, a baby?
Maya.
What do you want, Mother?
Don't. Please don't. Treat these people disrespectfully.
Please don't tell me what to do!
I'll stop telling you what to do when you stop behaving like a child.
What?
You heard me. There are other people in this world besides you, and they have problems too. Now, are you going to get a grip on yourself? Or am I going to have to call security and have them restrain you?
You're pathetic, you know that.
I will not! Allow you to talk to me like this. I will not!
What are you gonna do about it?
Driscoll power stares her out. Eventually, a fragile Maya cracks under the inner strain and breaks down in tears.
I just want to get out of here, Mommy.
Mother and daughter hug.
And I will take you home. But I have something. Finish first.
Driscoll wipes a tear from her eye.
Okay. Are we clear?
Yeah.
Good. That's my girl.
As Driscoll returns to the never-ending pressure of work, a broken Maya slips back into her bed and embraces the pillows, fingering her lip to ease her distress. Meanwhile, Jack scales the Rockland building in a glass lift, accompanied by Agent Castle and two other CTU agents in full assault gear. As the lift doors open on the 29th floor, they point their guns and automatic rifles. A body lies in an open doorway.
We got a man down. Take the wall.
As they rush forward, an armed man jumps out from a side door. It's Curtis.
Okay. I overheard a phone conversation between Marwin and one of his men. We have less than 15 minutes.
How many are still alive?
I'm not sure, but at least four.
Have your men secure the floor. Curtis and I are going after the override. Which way?
This way.
What about backup?
No backup. We can't let Marwin know we're coming. What's upstairs? IDS data systems. My guess is Marwin's cell inserted a sleeper into the company.
They must have used their servers to download the virus into the nuclear power plants.
Like piggybacking on IDS hardware.
Yeah. Take the door.
All right.
Up the stairwell.
Clear.
Jack rushes through the door and up the first flight of stairs and waits to cover Curtis from the landing. Working in tandem, Curtis darts past and covers Jack as he in turn proceeds to the next level. As Jack pulls open the door out of the stairwell, Curtis heads out into the corridor. As two workers walk along the far end, Curtis hides his gun and tries to act casual. They identify the main entrance to the offices of IDS Systems, heralded by their logo displayed proudly on the wall, and Jack approaches stealthily, his badge at the ready. Suddenly, a woman walks out through the security door.
Step away from the door, ma'am. I need you to exit the building. It's an emergency.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's go.
When Jack and Curtis enter the bustling office floor, they're dismayed to see large numbers of anonymous people busy working at their desks and frantically dashing from place to place, lost in the consuming buzz of everyday work.
Did we get a description of him?
No.
Could be anyone.
5:47. End of part three. Five fifty-two. Slowly and methodically, Jack and Curtis work their way down either side of the open-plan office, scrutinizing the faces of each of the workers. Not wanting to cause any alarm, Curtis hides his gun behind a file. Halfway down, Jack spots a balding Middle Eastern man, glance sheepishly over his shoulder, and generally acting suspiciously at his desk. Jack signals to Curtis, and they begin to move in. Their pace quickens as they zero in on the man. Jack unholsters his weapon and shields it behind his leg. He waits behind a nearby partition for Curtis to be ready and in position. Curtis nods, and they zoom in on the man. As he reaches to answer his desk phone, Jack sees that he's wasting time playing a game of patience on his computer and calls off the strike. Jack takes a deep breath, wipes away the fatigue from his eyes, and again focuses back on the search. As they pick their way from partition to partition, everything appears normal, and no one seems to notice the two armed agents stalking their office. Meanwhile, on the floor below, while checking out the dead bodies strewn across the doorway, Ali is discovered and challenged by Agent Castle. Ali bolts back into an empty office and quickly phones to warn Marwan.
Yes.
Marwan, it's Ali.
You've been discovered. Ali?
Castle shoots him dead.
Make sure all the exits are covered on the lower floors.
Roger that.
Last man down.
Marwan grows anxious and reaches for his gun, hidden beneath some papers on his desk. Scouring around for agents, he notices Jack approaching along a partition wall. Instinct prompts Jack to double back and take up another vantage position. From there, he sees Marwan peeping over his partition. As Jack closes in, Marwan rises to his feet, and the two men lock eyeballs in a moment of mutual recognition. Hemmed in on both sides, Marwan fires into the air. In a panic, people get in their way.
Stay down! Stay down! Get down! Get out of the way! Stay where you are! Stay down!
I got the second!
You got him!
No!
Curtis reaches Marwan's workstation.
Jack, I have the override!
Secure it! Call CTU now! Now!
As Curtis phones CTU, Jack chases after Marwan.
Driscoll.
Aaron, it's Curtis. I have the override. Put Edgar on.
Edgar, line one, it's Curtis. He has the override.
This is Edgar Styles.
Is the override logged in?
Yes. Send it to channel 11.
I can't.
What do you mean you can't?
All the fields are right protected.
That's not supposed to be. If you're directly plugged into the override, you should be able to do anything you want.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's locked up. What do you want me to do?
Ms. Driscoll, the clinic just called.
Tell them they're going to have to wait.
They said it was...
Tell them! Edgar, we're out of time. If you're going to do something, do it now.
Marwan was an engineer on the project. He must have modified the override to do this.
The NRC screen is showing the meltdown stage is already beginning.
Edgar, do something!
Curtis, there must be a hot key.
Yeah, there's a lot of keys, Edgar. I can't just try random combinations. It'll take too long.
Press the function keys one at a time.
The status window on the bottom will light up when you get to an active one. F5.
Good. Hold it down and press escape.
Nothing.
Try F5 shift escape.
Okay, he's responding.
Good. Set it to channel 11. Hurry up.
Edgar, now they have three plans in meltdown initiation.
Edgar takes control of the Dobson override from his computer at CTU and furiously hacks at his keyboard to prevent the meltdown of the remaining five reactors. He taps enter and waits.
Did you get it?
I hope so.
An edgy Curtis keeps his eyes glued to the monitor.
It's starting to respond.
Red danger symbols are superseded by a series of flashing green messages that read, Reactor online.
Yes! Yes!
The temperature is dropping on all remaining power plants.
Good work.
Congratulations, Edgar.
Driscoll's smiles soon fade as she heads off to the clinic to check on her daughter.
Great work, Aaron.
Thank you, sir. Excuse me.
5:58. Barely able to contain her fear and trepidation behind her professional facade, Driscoll hurries past a concerned Secretary Heller towards the clinic. As she nears the entrance, she quickens her pace as a sense of foreboding grips hold. She pushes back the heavy glass doors and immediately notices that Meyer is not in her bed. Medical staff seem to be huddled into one corner of the room.
Meyer?
Where is she? Meyer! Oh! Oh! Oh, baby!
Meyer lies dead on a cold marble floor, blood seeping from her gaping wrists.
It's over, sir. We've stopped the meltdown. Congratulations, Mr. President.
While President Keeler breathes a premature sigh of relief, Jack continues his pursuit of Marwan. He cautiously stalks him along deserted corridors and soon comes across the body of a CTU agent who died guarding a stairwell.
This is Bauer. We got a man down. Marwan is in a northwest stairwell headed to ground level. Does anybody read me?
Jack, it's Castle. I'll get a man up there.
As he checks the doorway, Jack notices that Marwan has taken the dead man's uniform.
All CTU agents. Marwan is impersonating a CTU officer. I repeat, the suspect is impersonating a CTU officer.
Solaris is surprised and killed by Marwan in uniform.
Solaris, do you read me? Solaris, do you read me?
6 p.m. The end.